Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're all doing well, and I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. My name is David. I'm the worship pastor and the youth pastor here at Lakeview, and apparently today is the designated day for the youth pastor to speak, because it's right in between the holidays, so there's a lot of people gone, and therefore the least amount of damage can be done. So even though you should be rewarded by coming to church in the middle of the holidays, we thought it best to punish you by making you listen to me speak for 20 minutes. With that said, today is my first time ever doing this. I've never preached before. I believe Phil made a cute little slide for me. Well, anyways, he put up a picture. He really, like, Facebook stalked me because it's a picture from a long time ago. He says, "Pastor Dave's first sermon." And I think he was trying to embarrass me, but the joke's on you, Phil, because I don't need any help. I can embarrass myself just fine. With that said, I'm a little nervous. It's my first time. One thing that happens when I'm nervous is I tend to sweat more than a person should. So if you start noticing, like, little marks appearing in these areas, I know it's easy to stare, but let me remind you, my eyes are up here, okay? Don't forget that. So now that I'm done with my self-deprecating jokes, let's get into the topic for today. It's called More Than the Cross, because we're talking about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And the reason it's called More Than the Cross is because, you know, a lot of times when we talk about his sacrifice for us, we talk about his death on the cross. And that's fair enough. His death on the cross was an incredible act of love that has eternal life-changing consequences for us. At the same time, I don't want to overlook the sacrifice that Jesus made by living for us. And that means the fact that he came down to our level as a baby. We just celebrated Christmas. He came to our level and lived a life just the way we do, so that he could reach us. And he humbled himself in a major way. And so the goal for us today is to understand more fully his sacrifice that he made by the way he lived, not just the way he died. So we'll start by looking at Philippians 2, 5 through 8. It says, "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Can you guys hear me okay? I know I talk kind of quiet. Good? Okay. We read there that his death on the cross is the culmination of everything he did for us. But it started with him becoming a servant found in human likeness. If it was just dying on the cross for him, he could have probably just popped in as an adult and gotten it over with. But we just celebrated Christmas. He chose to come as a baby. He chose to have the full experience. We talked about earlier in the month in the Arrival series that he's able to sympathize with us. He's our great high priest. And the great high priest, the job is for him to advocate for us to the Father on our behalf. And he can do this perfectly because he came and he experienced every little thing that we experience, even temptation. And it's a pretty cool thing to look at. So speaking of Jesus coming as a full-fledged human, coming as a baby, today is December 29th, which means Jesus is now 4 days old. I know he wasn't born on December 25th, but you get the idea. So if you're like me, you've probably wondered at some point what a perfect, sinless baby who is God incarnate would be like. A lot of people maybe wonder, you know, would he have cried? Would he have fussed? We know that he didn't sin, but would we really consider crying to be a sin? You know, hopefully we're not rebuking our babies every time they cry. but I think there are just some aspects of being human that they're annoying, they're uncomfortable, but they're not necessarily sinful. And I think Jesus came to experience even those things. He didn't want to take any shortcuts because he, we just said, he wants to be able to sympathize with us. He experienced everything we experience. So, you know, if he comes as a baby, Our first point is that Jesus was likely a perfectly normal baby. He wasn't speaking as he came out of the womb. He was a baby who cried, who was uncomfortable. And at first, being a normal baby may not seem like a big deal. Or if you're a parent, you may think babies are a pretty big deal because they can be pretty gross at times, apparently. I don't know that, but... And I think that paints a pretty cool picture of just how far Jesus was willing to come down in order to get to us. So if he was an actual human baby, he experienced all of those normal things. And what do we know about what babies experience? Well, for one, we know that babies poop. I know it seems silly to bring this up, but I promise there's a point. If you think about it, babies are messy, they're stinky, sometimes they even sit in their own poop. And I'm going to end each of these points with a little statement where I want us to imagine just the distance that was covered for Jesus to get to where he was to being a baby. And so this is the first statement. Imagine going from sitting on the throne of the universe to now sitting in poop. Right? Then this is what happens when you let the youth pastor preach. He will talk about poop, guaranteed. But it's an amazing contrast, going from sitting on the throne of the universe to sitting in something really gross. And if you look at our culture, this stuff doesn't really happen. It's kind of like if Donald Trump decided that he didn't want to be president anymore, he'd rather spend his time in a soup kitchen. That would never happen. But Jesus did that even on a much greater level. And it's pretty cool to think about the fact that he was willing to do that for us. But what else do babies do? They cry and they fuss. They're pretty poor at communicating, and for the most part, they only know how to express themselves by crying because they can't tell us, I'm hungry, I'm uncomfortable. So instead, they cry. If they're hungry, they cry. If they go potty in their diaper, they cry. If they're tired, they cry. If they see Pastor Phil's face, they cry. And so the thing I want us to look at here is that Jesus was actually part of creation. We read in John 1, 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So this means that he had the power to actually speak creation into being. And now he can't speak at all. So imagine going from speaking the universe into being, into existence, to not being able to speak a single word. It's pretty incredible. The next step is that babies are helpless and they're dependent. Again, it's really significant because you're looking at someone who is used to caring about all the needs of his creation. He cares about us, he cares about our needs, and now he can't even take care of himself. So imagine going from ruling over creation to now relying on one of your creations to care for your every need. All this is to say that Jesus came down really far, and he humbled himself in a major way. Being a baby was part of his sacrifice for us. And point number two is that all aspects of Jesus' life were sacrifices for us. The Bible gives us multiple statements on what Jesus was coming to do, what he hoped to accomplish. The first one that we're going to look at is Luke 19:10. It says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." So we just talked about how he was willing to go through a lot of discomfort by being a baby. And now he's willing to go through the social discomfort of the time to seek out those people who are lost. And we're talking about people who are prostitutes, people who are lepers, really the outcasts of society. And people at that time, they didn't really want anything to do with those people. But Jesus came for those people. He came for all of us because we're all lost, but he spent his time seeking out those people who are lost. and there weren't really people at the time willing to do that, so that's why we say it's uncomfortable. It probably wasn't uncomfortable for him because he loves them, but at the time, it's socially uncomfortable. And when we look at the next one, it's Mark 2, Verse 17. It says, "When Jesus heard it, he said to them, 'Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners. So speaking of who Jesus decided to spend his time with, who he sought out, it was the hopeless and the lost. The Pharisees of the time were people who thought, you know, if this is really God, if he's really coming to live on earth, then wouldn't he spend time with people like us? Because we're righteous, we follow his law. You know, he should be spending time with us, not these people who are prostitutes and are unclean. But Jesus had a different idea. He wasn't there to spend time with people who thought they had it all together. He was there to call the sinners to repentance. And when we look at repentance, it's not just saying you're a sinner, you need to change. Repentance means to turn and face God. So Jesus came to seek the people who were sinners, they're lost, and he's helping them turn and face God, their loving creator. The next one is Mark 10:45. It says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Like I said before, we look at these verses where he's giving his life, and we think of his death on the cross. And the reality is, he didn't just give his life by dying. He gave his life the entire time he was living by the way he lived. He chose to serve us. And above anyone else who has lived on earth, he deserved the most to be worshipped and praised. But he put all that aside, and he chose to be exactly what we needed him to be. And he did that not for his benefit, although he did benefit because he loves us, but he did it to save us. And that's his benefit, is that he gets to connect with us, he gets to have eternal life with us. And that's worth it to him. And if you're like me, you probably look at what he did and think about how you spend your own time. Because we're looking at someone who had the power to have everyone around him bowing down, bringing everything he could ever need, everything we think of in this life that would be perfect. He could have had that while he was here. He had that power. He deserved it. But he put all that aside, and he spent his time serving others. And then there's us. We're hopeless sinners who we spend our time a lot of times looking after our own needs, trying to serve ourselves. And we're working on that. But even when we're following Christ, we have a hard time not serving ourselves. So if you're feeling just a little bit convicted by the fact that the Son of God, most worthy to be praised, put that aside to serve you, and we can't even do the same thing. And we, you know, we don't deserve to be served. It's probably a little convicting, but I think that's okay. I think that's an appropriate response to begin looking at, you know, how do we even respond to something like this? Point number three is understanding something significant that's done for us should cause us to reflect. You know, we have a basic understanding now of, you know, the further extent of Jesus' sacrifice, not just dying on the cross, but living his entire life to serve us. We looked at the contrast of his glory and his splendor before and what he gave up by coming to be a human. And we saw that the only reason he came down was for our benefit and not his. So how do we reflect on something that's so incredible? Well, first, we can reflect on the cost of the sacrifice. Hopefully it was a good exercise, despite talking about poop, to imagine what it must have been like for him to go from way up there to come all the way down here. And not just be a human, but really to serve other humans. He put himself even below the average human. So hopefully as we try to imagine what that would be like for him, we can't really do it completely, but hopefully that brought a little bit of understanding. And when you understand how big the cost of something was, it helps us understand just how much he loves us. And looking at how else we can reflect on the gift that we don't deserve. It was just Christmas time. Everyone hopefully got a lot of gifts from family and friends because that's what family and friends do. But God decided to make us his family. And he gives us an amazing gift. Just because we're his children now doesn't mean we deserve the gift we're giving. We don't deserve to be his children. We're hopeless and lost, and we do countless things over and over to separate ourselves from him. but he decided still that we are worth rescuing. He made the choice to save us. And when you receive a gift that you don't deserve, usually it's pretty humbling. And hopefully that helps us appreciate it just a little bit more. The last point here is to move towards a life of appreciation, of response. When someone gives you something amazing, you usually want to show appreciation for it. If you truly believe in Jesus as your Savior, that he did these things for you, wouldn't that change the way that you think about things, the way that you live your life? He came to us in our brokenness and our death and offered us eternal life in heaven. And in return, all he asks is that we follow him. Now, granted, that's not always the easiest thing, but it's nothing compared to what he did for us, and it's so worth it. He gives us a parable about what it's like to discover something that's amazing or receive a gift that's this amazing. It's Matthew 13:44. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. For this man, the treasure in the field meant everything to him because he realized it's far more valuable than anything else he had. So to him, going and selling everything he had so he can obtain this, it wasn't even a question. It was easy because he knew this is incredible. What if we responded in the same way? And I'm not saying we should go and sell all of our possessions right away in response to God, but what if we truly place that with high importance as the most important thing? Because it is the best gift we could possibly receive, that we don't deserve. So moving towards a life of appreciation for that gift means to start prioritizing God, whatever that might look like. And I'll invite the band back up as I wrap this up. But if there's anything I want us to grasp this morning, it's the fact that God has done something incredible for us. And not just by dying on the cross. Again, that's incredible, but he came and devoted every aspect of his life for us. And hopefully looking at some of these points of, you know, the sacrifices he made has helped us understand that a little better. I know for me it's opened my eyes really to how big of a sacrifice he made. We really have a creator that loves us and will do anything for us. Even if it means living like one of us, even if it means dying worse than any of us will die. He died a torturous death. And so the first goal is that we begin to understand how incredible that is. And the second goal, and this is the bottom line, is that understanding what Jesus has done for us should motivate us to move towards a life that's defined by thankfulness. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for everything that we don't deserve. God, you looked at us. You saw us in our sinfulness, our brokenness, our darkness. And despite that, you decided we're worth saving to you. God, we thank you that you did whatever it took to bring us back to you. I just pray that as we begin to respond to this, that you would give us the strength to prioritize you. Even when the storms hit, when life hits hard, God, give us the strength to look up and see you in all of this. God, we're eternally grateful for what you've done for us. And we just pray that you give us the strength to begin having the same mindset of serving others. Because if you can do it, despite all that you deserve, God, give us the strength to do it as well. God, we just lift all these things up to you, and we praise you. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen.